get started. So thanks everyone for joining. Today is our first verifiable credentials for education task force meeting, part of Credentials Community Group. And so we're following a lot of the same format, and that involves sort of an agenda review and IP note at the beginning, just to make sure that everyone knows, you know, that the contributions that you make are protected by the W3C IP release protection. So I'll give more information about how to join there. So today's agenda is kind of light because it's our first meeting, and we wanted to, you know, so I think we've published the Verifiable Credentials for Education Charter, and the Digital Credentials Consortium white paper is in theory coming out today. So I haven't seen that yet, but it should be at some point today. And that will call out the kinds of standards and everything that we're interested in. And they're ones that you all know and love, verifiable credentials for verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers. But the problems that we'll be talking about here are how to actually use those in the education space. So today we're wanting to focus on introductions and understanding the kind of scenarios that you people joining this call are interested in doing. And so we'd like to use that to help prioritize some of the efforts. So with that, I'll just get started with the IP note. So we're going to begin all calls with this, and it's that anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of CCG with full IP or IP release agreement signed. I'll include a couple of links in the IRC chat. This is a link, this is a link of joining the Credentials Community Group. You may, if you don't have one already, you need a W3 web account. And so all of these are free. Joining the Credentials Community Group is free. And then if you want to see the text of the W3C community contributor license agreement that's governing, you know, how the IP protections work, that is at this location that I just typed into IRC. And then call notes before we actually get started. So these minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at following location. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. And all attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. So you can do it as Sia did it, that shows present plus in her name, but you could also just type present plus as I'm doing now. Our scripts know to look for your alias and match that to a name. So, Sia mentioned a good question about SIP clients. That's something else that we're working on. Let me come back to that in just a second, and we'll see if anyone's connecting over SIP and if you have good experience with that. Let's see. So we did present, and we use IRC to cue speakers as well. So in IRC, type Q plus, just the letter Q, and then plus, like I'm doing now, to add yourself to the queue. I'm removing myself by saying Q minus. That's the way we sort of everything organized, and you can optionally say add plus with the word to after it, plus to talk about this or that, and in general we say please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in, and you can always queue plus again. So the meeting is held primarily by voice and not IRC, so IRC comments are totally fine, but in general, if there's an interesting kind of thread happening, we prefer to do that over voice, because otherwise it doesn't really get captured in the main threads of the conversation. Okay, now the last boilerplate thing, we do need a volunteer to scribe. And let's see, so scribing, if we have someone who's attended W3C Credentials Community Group's calls before, it would be wonderful if someone could volunteer for us.
That'd be me.
Oh, thank you. Who is this?
Oh, Juan, sorry.
Juan,
thank you
so much. Excellent, thank you. So, yes, I'll actually add you right now. Oh, actually, I'll show you how it works. Making sure I'm spelling your alias correct. Okay, there we go.
Oh.
So, yeah, I just typed scribe Juan Caballero.
Oops. Caballero.
Caballero. Oh, did I miss it?
It's okay. Everyone does it.
Oh, I missed it. Yeah, I did. Okay, sorry. Here we go. Let me do this again. Fortunately, our scripts, they're all additive, or the later entries overwrite the previous ones, so we'll get the right one, but I want to make sure it's by... Okay, there we go. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, Juan. And so for those of you who are new to these sorts of calls, please notice what Juan is doing as we go. So he's going to be keeping kind of high-level notes of what's being talked about, but we do try to capture the main thread of what everyone's talking about, so that people who can't attend can see what we discussed. And he'll do that by typing aliases. Like if he wanted to say, like pretend this is Juan typing right now, if he wanted to say Ken is describing how to do minutes, he would type something like this. So he would just type in IRC, KimHD, my alias, describing how to do minutes. And especially in the early days, well, after a while, you start to recognize people by voice, but it's not always obvious who's talking. So in general, you know, please introduce yourself when you're talking. So we'll know you by your alias, but for the first few calls, feel free to just say who you are and which group you're with, and so everyone will know who you are. Okay, I think that was it for the boilerplate stuff. In the Credentials Community Group ongoing calls, we do the next section we do is introductions and reintroductions. However, today the main focus will be will actually be kind of introduction, since this is a new work item. So what I wanted to do instead was show everyone the verifiable credentials for education charter. So let me link that in here. Okay, I included the link right here. It should be open to the public. Feel free to just let me know if you're having a hard time connecting. Oh, and there was one thing I wanted to come back to, which is what Sophia mentioned. If anyone had problems connecting today, please either write about it or make a comment in the chat session. And if it looks like there are a lot of issues connecting, we'll talk about that specifically. But if anyone had success using a SIP client connecting, that's something that, oh, for the voice part, that's something we struggle with a lot. And we're trying to improve the documentation on the CCG call. So, in fact, I'm just using regular, phone call right now instead of SIP, because the app I was using started getting very flaky and booting me off, and so it's impossible to deal with when I'm sharing. So if you're having good success with a SIP client, let anyone know. Okay, so with that, I included the link to the charter, and I wanted to just quickly go through that. We sent this out when we proposed the task force. And but I wanted to go back through it and sort of add some color to it. And if you and actually this in talking about what, you know, do any of the items on here interest you, or are there things not on this list that you would like to work on? That will be the main focus of the meeting. And so we just want to hear about your use cases and the problems you're interested in. So just to sort of set this up, this formed out of a group called the Digital Credentials Consortium, which is 12 universities, international universities. There's some in the U.S., Europe, Mexico, and Canada now. And so we were trying to figure out, you know, so there's strong interest in using verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers, and all of the universities involved with the consortium, you know, had their own kind of pilots with digital credentials, some of them blockchain anchored. But then in each of those efforts, we sort of ran into challenges. A lot of those had to do with the fact that, you know, verifiable credentials specification is just reaching the 1.0 mode. Decentralized identifiers are entirely new. Well, they've been incubating for a while, but, you know, we don't have a 1.0 approved W3C spec yet. So it's still very early days. And what's interesting is that in the education space, there's been a lot of movement compared to other sectors. And a lot of this comes from, in fact, the success of open badges, which we have some open badges experts on the call. So I might be getting this incorrect, but I think it's been around and successfully deployed for about 10 years. And so, you know, open badges uses a lot of the same principles of linked data. And so I think that that's really helped push forward a lot of the success in the education space. But modifying, you know, sort of as we start adapting to a broader range of credentials and more control for the learner to identify themselves and basically prove control over the credentials, that's where a lot of us are hitting kind of the wall, because we're the first people pushing for these questions practically in for those standards. And so for that reason, you know, we didn't want our decisions to be confined to that, you know, consortium. We wanted to have these discussions openly, part of a standards track group. So just for context, the credentials community group, we are a standards track / incubation group. We can write artifacts and draft specifications, but ultimately everything we do goes on to somewhere else. So that might be IEEE. So for example, there's the CM4 LPS IEEE group that is working on the ILR. I think it's interoperable learning record, but it's not. It might be integrated learning record. Someone please write in IRC if you have the right one. But so they're working on some parts. Some other aspects of it, like if we're interested in working on specific decentralized identifier methods, that might go on to be a work group at W3C. So the main thing is that in the credentials community group, it's a good way for people to participate for free and have these conversations and get some initial agreement. And even we can start using the kinds of standards that are generated in this group. You know, we all can version whatever schemas we come up with. So it's possible that if we come up with a way for expressing, say, transcripts, that we can actually start using that, because this is the group of, you know, it has sort of the people who are experts in the ed tech space thinking about these problems. So we can actually make a whole lot of progress in an open forum before things move into actual kind of more rigorous spec phase, where people are kind of obsessing a bit more over each word, for example. So it's a good way to start making fast progress openly. And so some of the specific questions that we had as part of the Digital Credentials Consortium that we wanted to talk about here include things like the format.
New members, mute yourself.
Oops. Okay, so one thing I wanted to show, a trick I was about to use, is there's this VOIP noise command, and so that shows all of the channels that have had some kind of activity. So I think I'll need to ask Manu, there's a way to mute people, and actually I'm not sure how to do it, but Juan, thank you, you accomplished the same thing. Just one other thing I want to do real fast. Okay, so VOIP connections, and that will show who's kind of signed up so far. So again, if you haven't typed present plus, please do that, and so that we'll make note that you attended. Okay, so the specific things we wanted to talk about was kind of matching up existing educational data standards, a lot of which they use XML, you know, but verifiable credentials, the formats for those that we've focused on so far are JSON and JSON. So verifiable credentials, you know, the linked data part of it, all that you need is an underlying RDF graph. So in theory, you know, we could sort of go whatever path we wanted if we wanted to sort of adapt XML standards to, you know, if there are XML standards we want to use, but two, if so, do we want to adapt them for JSON, or, you know, do we want to sort of express verifiable credentials in XML, which would be a new challenge because basically all the tooling for verifiable credentials is very JSON-centric and JSON-LD-centric. But then a next question is more of a kind of socialization. There's a lot of work that some groups are working on with developing vocabularies and taxonomies for educational claims. But how do we discover what those are, and so that we can kind of reuse each other's work? So this would be how do we promote reuse of linked data context, which I mean JSON-LD context, but more broadly the vocabularies, taxonomies, and everything. So yes, the next one is especially in the earlier days where, you know, decentralized identifiers, I think the value add from a learner perspective is very appealing, but the tooling isn't quite there yet. And I think many of us who are deploying solutions soon would be reluctant to take dependencies on things that introduce entirely new security and threat models, let alone usability models of, you know, how do you expect learners to, what happens if they lose control over their keys? So, you know, one example that we could do that I've talked with several people on the call is the idea of, well, did methods don't have to be based on some blockchain implementation. It could be just kind of a wrapper into or bridge into other authentication mechanisms. So I know some groups are using it that way, basically using it to a bridge to OpenID Connect or some kind of authentication system within that organization. So how do we use these principles? Like, we're all interested in principles of learner control of their credentials, but how do we actually make that happen? How do we ensure longevity of the learner's control over the credential? So related to that, exploring ways to use decentralized identifiers for integration with existing university authentication methods. There's this area of, there are areas of the verifiable credential. So one of the great things about the verifiable credentials data model, in my opinion, is the extreme sort of thoroughness of consideration in terms of use, privacy, security, and the sort of range of considerations you might have depending on, you know, how you're using a verifiable credential. Is it a very high stakes, like sensitive data and the concerns you might have there versus something that's the equivalent to something you'd be happy to post on LinkedIn. So one of those, the terms of use is a field that I feel like haven't really worked on understanding yet practically how that might be used. So that might be terms like sharing or resharing for ecosystem players, like say a verifier or a relying party. What can we say in terms of use to kind of preserve privacy, things like that. And then in general, the life cycle of the credential considerations, especially around recovery. So with that, I wanted to call out that, I also listed some possible deliverables that we're interested in. We are interested also in kind of prioritizing specific use cases around, we want to prioritize types of credentials. So like, are people interested in professional development kind of credentials, diplomas, transcripts, which are much harder, but, also is it something more, accomplishment or competency-based achievement? And the final section, actually, I think we called out the idea of there's a lot of external groups that we are connected with and we want to work with. So I think a lot of people on the call are representing or from those other groups. And so the work here is not meant to compete with that. I think especially if we identify anything, say if it should be happening in IEEE, the CM4LTS, or if it's already the topic of an IMS group, or if it's specific to an IMS schema, for example, then, feel free to point that out, and we should be kind of having that we can have that conversation in the right place. I think the value of this is that we don't have to be so locked, we don't have to see everything through a specific lens. Like, we're not thinking about things totally through a verifiable credentials perspective or through an IMS global open badges perspective. We can kind of think more broadly because we're trying to figure out how these all work together, because we need the expertise and the experience of all of those communities. So with that, that is the sort of summary of why we're here. And I'm going to stop talking now and focus mostly on asking questions. So on the subsequent calls, we will be sending out agendas, which, if you ever want to get something on the agenda, a lot of times we talk in the calls and we come to some sort of agreement of, yeah, that's interesting for next topic. But if you have something that you want to talk about, please feel free to email me and James, who you'll start hearing more from. He's the right now we have two co-chairs of this group, and so if you don't know his email address, just email me and I'll loop in James. But if you have any topics that you want to focus on, we'll make sure to get them on the agenda. So every week we'll be sending out a notice for the agenda, so that if there are topics that you're less interested in than others, you can kind of reclaim your time, hopefully. So with that, I'm going to call on Greg, who's on the queue. And Greg, when you can you introduce yourself and who you work with and which groups you're affiliated with for everyone as you go?
Sure. Should I be typing that at the same time?
No, the scribe in general will be typing as you talk. So now that's step one this time.
Okay, well, nice to meet you, everyone, and I'll get used to the format. My name is Greg Nadeau, and I work for Public Consulting Group in Boston, Massachusetts, and I have been active in IMS Global, heading up the CASE Competency and Academic Standards Exchange, which is an ontology, machine-readable ontology format, and now the Comprehensive Learner Record. More recently, I've gotten increasingly active within IEEE and help facilitate the conceptual model for learning technology systems and the integrated learner record recommended practices. So Kim and I have had many conversations, particularly through our mutual involvement in the T3 Innovation Network, which is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce initiative. So I guess the thing I wanted to, well, I put myself in queue when you said something about how do we make the references shareable. That is one of the three things that I think we're going to be looking to document within the IEEE work, which I think is a lot of overlap here. What I'm looking forward to, you know, I think Kim and I talked about kind of keeping these two groups going separately, but very much in harmony. So the IEEE work is going to focus on three things. It's going to focus on self-sovereign identity, access control, and trust networks. That's the first. The second is open ontology references. And the third is verifiable assertions. Clearly the work here would seem to be strongest in that third category, but it brings me to the second one, which was what put me in the queue, which is for these verifiable credentials to be really valuable, they must assert or award to open linked data that is shareable and crosswalkable, right? So the metaphor of the wallet and the credential secure in the wallet is, I think, a pretty good one, and certainly points to the idea that if you took out your credit card from your wallet, your so-called learner credential, that it would be important that you could exchange those skills with other taxonomies in an open ontology. So that's what, to me, is most missing in the prior work here. And for this to be really productive in education, I think that that's a place where we can bring in both the work that's been done in IMS Global with CASE, but even more so the work that's coming out of, I think it's called Project 5 within the T3 Innovation Network, about open ontology meta directories, which is just, you know, a fancy way of saying that not everything's going to be in the CASE network, not everything's going to be in the credential engine. There's going to be a bunch of these network registries, and there needs to be some sort of meta registry that can connect them.
Thank you, Greg. That's fantastic overview, and that's also good to know that that second item that you mentioned, the you know, sort of the directories, the, you know, kind of the open ontology part of it. It's good to know that that will be a focus of IEEE, because I think as we're talking about, there's so much work to do. So it's kind of good to know, in fact, who's doing what so that we can kind of, not duplicate efforts. And so, Greg, I was wondering actually if you could share a link or information with people about if they want to join the IEEE groups specifically, if that's an area that's of interest, you know, how can they get involved? I think otherwise, if that's something that you want to be aware of the developments, but you're not interested, like you don't really have any particular need to drive that work, I think that's fine. You'll be covered by the fact that we have people working in both groups, so we'll be keeping everyone up to date on any interesting developments. So I think it's good that I think many of us have worked together separately in different standards orgs, so it's nice to have just a regular place to check in so that we can understand who's doing what. And similarly, if you're interested only in those kinds of topics, you can be focusing your time there and get updates on the kind of work that we're focusing on here. So yeah, Greg, if you could just share, oh, there you go. So he shared the information and his email. So basically email Greg if you're interested in joining those monthly IEEE CM4LTS calls. And he included a link to the draft as well. So thank you for that, Greg. And Carrie Lemoy, you're up next. And Carrie, could you also introduce yourself and your many efforts and background, please?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Hi, Kim. My name is Carrie Lemoy. My background, I'm a technologist, and my background has been in all web technology, but primarily with open badges over the last decade. And most recently, I'm working my PhD, and I've been doing more research work. So right now, I'm, for instance, doing a research project with the Department of Education that is scanning any sort of blockchain in education initiatives. On my own, though, I'm working on my PhD on trust and online behavior. And I'm actually bringing up a question based on that. And just going to throw a question out just for not to be addressed now, but something for us to consider, which may not surprise Kim, would be library use cases and library standards and more sort of informal learning and how libraries intersect with, you know, professional development and formal education too. And so I've realized recently that we don't really address libraries in the context of these developments with educational credentials. So I just want to bring it up, see if anyone has experience with that, like with Mark 21 or any of the Library of Congress standards that they use, and if we could introduce that into this group as well.
Great, thank you, Carrie. And also, Carrie is working on a report for, I think she mentioned this briefly, for the Department of Education. And so I think that one will be very interesting and informative to us as well. So we'll be, when that's available, which I think will be March-ish, we'll be sharing that out for everyone. And I think it sounds like a survey of various blockchain and education sort of efforts mostly blockchain.
It's some decentralized efforts. Most folks are using a combination of things, but we're calling it blockchain. But yeah, it's pretty wide.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And that should be out in the spring, like March or April or so.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. That report's going to save all of us a lot of time. So it'll be very useful. And I wanted to call on Nate next. Nate.
Hey, thanks, and apologies in advance. I will have to drop off here shortly. I'm Nate Otto. I'm the director of the Badger platform at Concentric Sky. We implement open badges primarily, but we are interested in coming together in this group and in others to find what's the next path forward to kind of connect all the pieces that we've been working toward on the specification front for about 5 years now, bringing together the verifiable claims, envelopes, digital signature formats that it supports, and then very importantly, the DID-OFF and DIDs for recipient identification and issuer identification. There's a lot of really good work that has been happening, and there are also use cases in education that are ready to go, ready to hit production at formal ed, informal ed, all age levels and into workforce. We have the potential to recommend a set of technologies, or at least explore a set of technologies together that can complete the loop for these use cases, so that this is no longer trial, looking forward to what's next technology, but it's something that's actually able to be implemented today. So really excited to be with you all in this group as we try and figure out what we want to play with at each layer of that stack and what problems there are to solve in order to get those layers connected together really nicely.
That's fantastic, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's see. I wanted to call in Simone next. Simone, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, very well.
Great. So hello, everyone. My name is Simone. I'm based in Italy. I work for a company called Digitary, originally headquartered in Dublin. So in Europe, in Ireland, but recently, actually in the last 3 years, has had an expansion into the Asia-Pacific region, particularly in Australia. And We are a digital credential platform working with universities mainly, and we now power a financial platform of all public universities across Australia and New Zealand, so we allow them to issue their digital diplomas, transcripts, and official records. We've been really active in advocating for interoperability and data exchange standards in higher education mostly, and have really been meaning to keep track of all the and contribute to the initiatives around data standards, open standards in higher ed. Have supported standardization work in Europe, and were being consulted by the Commission, European Commission, on recent projects. One that I would call out is called Europass, which introduces a digital credential infrastructure in Europe, a new one. And in North America, we've been involved with PESC for a number of years. And so the idea is that whatever data that our system produces should be able to be transformed into the specification where it ends up at. And so this work around verifiable credentials for education is very fitting with our mission, and we look forward to contribute to it, possibly making sure that we keep a perspective global, particularly the contribution that we can make is what's happening in Europe, let's say, in addition to North America, which you all know very well.
That's fantastic. And also, I think it might be good if you could, we might ask you to present on some of these efforts, because I think, I know in Digital Credentials Consortium, we're interested in sort of applicability to Europass, and then also in the U.S., I think I'm not very familiar with PESC standards at all, so it would be interesting to hear what you guys are doing with PESC, if you're able to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm looking forward to do. So whenever, great, in due time, that's something that I could do.
Excellent. Thank you. And Juan, actually, I can scribe for you, but I was curious if you, could you introduce yourself? I would be interested to hear also about the kind of topics that you're interested in.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay? My connection has been pretty bad on the receiving end.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. So I work currently for a SSI company here in Germany that's in conversation with some universities and government projects.
Hello.
Good. Okay. And in a past life, I was a college professor, and I worked with registrar's departments on a couple digital things unrelated to this. So I guess bring that experience. Yeah, and I'm half for Sparity and half for myself.
Excellent. Yeah, I think one thing that you mentioned that's very interesting around, well, all of it is, but working with the registrar departments, I think that that's something that we, I don't think we listed it in the charter, but that is something that's a big focus of the white paper, and I think we should probably bring it into the charter. I think we're very interested in ways to sort of save efforts for actually deploying these within university or other systems. So I think that understanding a bit more what we're working with, or at least if we start with common tools that people work with, you know, understanding like what sort of data that we might be dealing with, what sort of APIs to help make sort of the integrations easier, I think is something that is a lot of interest. Thanks for that, Juan. And Alan, you're up next.
Yes, hi, my name is Alan Davis. My business is called Credential Master, and I've been working as a Salesforce technical architect for many years, and we're building a business-oriented verifiable credentials management system on top of the Salesforce.com platform. And our initial focus is going to be higher education as a target market. So that's my interest in this. I'm looking forward to participating.
Great, thank you. So I think, let me just check on the queue real fast. Okay, it looks like we don't have anyone else on the queue right now. There are a couple of people, if it's okay, I think I'm going to call on just, let's see, Wayne, is this Wayne from Consensus? He might just be in IRC, but not on the call. Let's see. It's hard to tell which aliases are just sort of lost IRC connections and which ones are actually on the call. Just one second. Okay. Let's see. I think for the other aliases, if you haven't introduced yourself yet, please add yourself to the queue. We would be interested to hear the kinds of topics you're interested in. It's good to hear that there's a lot of intersection between, you know, the kinds of work that we're thinking about. One question I did want to touch on, and feel free to add yourself to the queue, and we'll actually we'll get back to it after Bernhard. But I am interested to hear about the kinds of claims that people are interested in as an earlier priority. But we'll come back to that. Bernhard, you're up next. Are you muted?
All right. I hope I got it now. Hi, I'm Bernhard Borges. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for putting this on, Kim. I'm currently the chief scientist at Dock, which is a blockchain-based company. However, so this is a little bit tricky. One of my main motivations to look into the group and hopefully contribute to the group is actually more as a concerned citizen than anything else. I'm extremely, extremely interested in the life cycle of credentials, particularly in education and healthcare, and I've been doing a lot of work on the privacy side, including selective reveals, and I'm also extremely interested in using DID structures as part of credential issuing to create proxy identity anchors, for example, mingling or party signing recipient keys with issuing institution keys, but the really big one is the life cycle considerations. What happens to those credentials? What happens when certain parties don't function anymore? And really, what happens, particularly with all these proof of concepts going on, once those credentials are being issued, where are they going to go once the POC is over?
That's a great point. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go on.
No. I'm done. I mean, if you just query, or hopefully we'll get to know each other over the next few weeks, and happy to be here.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So I like the points about, yes, what's going to happen after all the POCs are done, and then also being here as a concerned citizen as well. That's very important. I think a lot of us on this call, I know, are sort of having similar concerns around, let's see, so if any party involved in the ecosystem of these claims goes away, what sort of impact it has? Because with verifiable credentials, certainly the idea is that It's promoting decentralization and recipient control. There are a lot of challenges to actually make that true, though. And so I think that in the prototypes are very useful for pushing forward, you know, what sort of, you know, getting some of the work done. But we need to keep pushing forward on those other very important, challenging problems. So thanks, Bernhard. And Hans, you're up next.
Thanks a lot. Hi, this is Hans Pongratz from Germany. I'm a Senior Vice President, Chief Information Officer of Technical University of Munich, and we are one of the member universities of the Digital Credentials Consortium. So I'm really looking forward to getting verifiable credentials for education running somehow. So we are on the one hand, someone who gets our students, some of them, and on the other hand, we're checking them for our new student, for our incoming students. So we are receiver on the one hand, and on the other hand, we are trying to provide these certificates. And so for sure, we are looking for a long-term sustainable way, because as you know, paper is a very good alternative right now, but we're looking forward how to get these stuff digital.
Excellent. Thank you, Hans. Uli, you're up next.
Thank you very much, Kim, for setting this up. So hello also from my side. I'm also based in Munich and working at the same university as Hans does. And I'm a PhD student there, mainly focusing on the topic of blockchain and identity. And I'm especially interested in the mapping between public identities and real-world identities to on-chain identities on blockchain, and also the credentials in here. So that's about me.
That's great. Thanks, Uli. S.R. Patterson, you're up.
Hello, that's me. My name is Stephen Patterson. I'm here also with Bernhard from DOC, and primarily interested in wrapping my mind around all of the efforts that are happening from the T3 Innovation Network to the IEEE standards that are in progress, and making sure that we're not continuing to fall behind in that area. So,
great. Thank you for joining. Stuart, you're up next.
Hey, I'm Stuart Freeman from Georgia Tech in the U.S., primarily interested in sort of educational use cases, applications. That's it.
Thank you, Stuart. And Matt, you're up next.
Hi, this is Matt Lyle at Georgia Tech. I work with Stuart, who was the previous speaker. We have been piloting and doing some UX research on blockchain-based credentials over the past couple of years. We recently joined the Digital Credentials Consortium, and our primary use case, at least starting off short-term, is in our Georgia Tech professional education unit, where they're offering a variety of different professional development, sort of lifetime education offerings, and how these credentials could fit in there.
Thank you, Stuart. And I did want to call attention to a lot. They've been pioneering a lot of usability studies in this case. So I find that part very interesting in terms of learner wallets, credential wallets, how they interact with the whole experience. They did a study that I'm going to ask him to link to again. Sorry, I do this all the time. But I think it's interesting because they actually were piloting block certs, and they did a lot of user interviews and got feedback on the kind of sticking points. So that's something that I think is an interesting topic as well. They actually have some you know, a student focusing on that and have a report going on there. But it would also be interesting to hear what other people are noticing with their learners and how they interact, what their experience is. Let's see if we have any cue left. Okay, I think Matt went already. Juan, you are up next. I'll scribe for you.
Okay. Great. I was just going to say on that point
I don't know if either of the colleagues from Munich have been in touch with them, but Fraunhofer here in Germany has been doing a usability study. May or June or something, but it would be good to just incorporate that when we get our hands on it.
Thank you, Juan. And I'm not sure if I saw. I thought I heard Fraunhofer. So if you could correct me in IRC, I may not have gotten there. Okay, Fraunhofer. Excellent. Okay, speaker queue is empty. There is one thing I wanted to, so I've gotten a lot of good sort of feedback on what people are interested in. I think that after this, I'm going to sync with James to kind of summarize what we talked about. I think I'm also going to put out some sort of shared document or poll, because I would like to have a place to kind of gather ideas, like if just questions come up that you would like to discuss in this forum. You know, I think maybe just starting with the Google Doc would be good, but then over time when it comes to prioritizing what we're working on, we may follow up with polls and things like that. So, but I am hearing a lot of support for use of DID methods in sort of bridging that into, university authentication schemes. Let's see, there's definitely a lot of interest as well in just, how we build this thing, how we express these credentials. Were there any other, there were a lot of trends, I'm not sure that I partially need to review the minutes of the meeting, but were there any other sort of commonalities that people wanted to call out that maybe I didn't miss, that I didn't hit? So, and that's fine. We'll do another account.
Kim?
Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, this is Greg Nadeau again. It might be useful, to two things is, some of the things coming out of the conceptual model for learning technology systems might be helpful to help ground this group with common terminology extended beyond the terms defined in verifiable credential. What is your thoughts about how to kind of keep these things synced, or what's the document that will be resulting next here in this group?
Well, that's a good point around terminology. So one thing I thought would be helpful is I don't think we'll necessarily decide on it right away, but I would be interested to hear proposals. So I know the SEDS terminology, which hopefully Greg, I don't know if there's something you can link yet, because I know it's still being discussed, but it would be good to have people take a look at that. One thing to Greg's point that's very interesting is, I think that those of us coming from more of the W3C background are just comfortable using the word credentials or verifiable credentials, but as you get specifically into, the content of that credential, there's a lot of nuance, and I think my understanding is that SEDS is a good baseline for what a lot of people in the education data standards have focused on. I don't know if that's a controversial statement, so it would be good to, get feedback from people, IMS, although Greg is very involved in IMS as well. So, but if there are any candidates that, beyond SEDS, what people have, because I think it would be really useful for our own sanity and, in terms of making better progress to do that. So I think what I'd like to do, if possible, is just reuse some terminology. Like if we're happy with SED for the most part, then that's good. But I imagine we'll have some of our own things. So we can start building up kind of a reference of that. But hopefully it will largely be just pointers into other groups' terminology, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But yeah, so if you have a link to the SED's terminology now. Yeah.
So actually, you know, the good news is that, you know, Jim Goodell is writing the IEEE port section. So SEDS and IEEE will be identical. So the link that I sent on the conceptual model will be fully synchronized with CDS.
Wonderful. So I think that sounds like a really strong candidate. And I think, you know, just in terms of making sure we're getting feedback from the community, I think that it would be good to hear, you know, especially from our European members, are there other, you know, kind of frameworks, sets of terminology that, that they're interested in using as well? But I think we could probably send out a few possibilities and we could review that in an upcoming call. So thanks for bringing that up. That's a really good point.
I just made one final word on that. CDS is definitely consensus, but it is U.S.-centric, right? And IEEE is not U.S.-centric, so, and neither, obviously, W3C. So I think as these CEDS definitions go into IEEE, there's an important opportunity for non-U.S. stakeholders to provide feedback as to the general applicability of the terms and the concepts and the logic model.
Excellent, yeah. So I noticed we're getting close to time. I wanted to, this would be a good place to wrap up, but thank you everyone for joining. Please, you know, any discussions, if you have any just topics you want to discuss, feel free to use the credential, the W3C Credentials Community Group mailing list alias. Email me and or James if you have any questions or any topics you want to propose for the next time. And as I mentioned, we'll be sending out an agenda and, you know, sort of a, maybe some places where you can kind of write down and keep track of the kinds of efforts that you're interested in. Thanks, everyone, for joining, and we'll see you next week.